Hello and welcome to Stuff You Should Know About Oil and Gas Production. This podcast is brought to you by Kimray. You can visit us at kimray.com to see our full slate of training materials, quick tips, and other resources. My name is Curtis Winkle. I'm here today with a couple of friends. So Jeff Port is a product manager with Kimray. And Jeff, why don't you tell us a little bit more about, like, you're not just a product manager, but you have some specific Kimray products that you oversee.
Yeah, so we kind of have it divided up amongst the different members of our team. So the ones I primarily oversee or manage are pilot-operated products, with the exception of things like level control. So regulators, that's the big one. That's what most people would be familiar with. But we also have external pilots, temperature controllers, and things like that.
Very good. And our special guest today is Kristen Hinke. Kristen is the VP of ESG and Public Policy at Phlogistics, and a fellow OU alum.
Yes.
So Boomer Sooner.
Boomer Sooner.
So thanks for coming, Kristen.
Sure. Happy to do it.
How about, let's start here, just a little bit about you, background, how you ended up as the big wig over ESG at Phlogistics.
I'm still not sure. So I was born on a hot day in August in Dallas.
All right.
All kidding aside.
Yeah.
Got a bachelor's degree at the University of New Mexico.
Okay.
And had grown up in Oklahoma, ended up in New Mexico because my dad got transferred there, and ran back to Oklahoma the first chance I got. Got a master's at OU.
Awesome.
And I've kind of moved around quite a bit since then. In 96, got into the oil and gas industry via a classmate from OU.
Cool.
Who was already working for a trade association on the servicing side of the business. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I got into the oil and gas industry. And so worked for a couple trade associations, been in and out of Washington, D.C., I worked for Devon Energy for a time, and now I'm at Phlogistics.
I saw on your LinkedIn, I mean, public policy and lobbying and oil and gas and energy companies all over your background. So fun, a lot of diverse experience too. So how about a little bit about Phlogistics and what you guys do and the products that are used upstream?
Sure, sure. So the company was formed 12 years ago by Mims Talton, who's still our CEO. We're funded by private equity, so still privately held. And our initial offerings are vapor recovery. That's the basis. Compression technologies, that's the basis of our business. We have a manufacturing facility in Pampa that has been part of the company from the start. And then last year, about this time last year, we opened up our new facility in El Reno. So we are doing some manufacturing in El Reno just because of demand.
Yeah.
We also have a side service that we provide, which is methane detection via drone. Mm-hmm. We have your standard rotary drones that everybody's used to seeing, but then we also are working on a fixed wing that will be able to travel longer and further distances, pipelines, that type of thing.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's
once
awesome.
It's ready to go. Yeah.
I don't know enough.
Very
about,
exciting.
I don't know enough about drones. I assume they're all one kind.
No, it so. Looks like, in fact, it's about the size of this desk, which is about 5 feet long by 3 feet, and looks like a small airplane.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you can attach things to it depending on the weight limitations, cameras, sniffers, lasers, that kind of thing.
Very exciting.
So I'll get back to that question. But Kristen, you with Phlogistics put together this ESG report in 2021, and that's kind of how you appeared on my radar, actually. We've been looking at doing some different things and just what different companies have done in this space, and came across your report, and we're like, oh, this is great. This is something that we should do also. So we wanted to learn about this. It's a hot topic right now. Jeff has been doing many deep dives, late night reading about Quad OA, et cetera.
It goes so much deeper than I've been able to dive. I'll say that.
And we're releasing products. So we have a back pressure regulator with outside supply now, where you can use air compression so that you don't release gas emissions, non-vent regulators,
that's right,
and some electric actuation and things like that. So Phlogistics, if your primary product is vapor recovery, is this kind of always been on your radar, the emissions conversation and trying to minimize that?
I would say yes, but not necessarily on the ESG topic. It was more that it was a revenue stream for the operators.
Okay.
And the majority of our long-term customers are ones that really thought this was important and had a hard time with the whole concept of venting and flaring, that you're burning money, basically, or letting it blow into the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So I would say that's where it came. But this technology dates all the way back to the 1970s, so it's been around for a while.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Did not know that. So what, you come on in 2021.
Yes.
And what is kind of your objective as the director or what VP of ESG, ESG and public policy?
So they initially hired me to actually kick off the ESG program for the company.
Yeah.
And that was because of two requests. One, the private equity partner asked them to address this. And secondly, the operator customers are starting to ask for it, the ones that are publicly traded. They're mm-hmm. looking down their supply chains. Yeah. They want to see what their customers are doing. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be the number one vapor recovery, the number one choice. And so we yeah. feel like having a robust ESG program is vital for that.
Absolutely.
So that's really where it came from. Now, my experience with ESG started back when I was with Devon. That's where I had my first exposure. Mm-hmm. And back then it was called corporate social responsibility. Mm-hmm. But this whole ESG effort started around 2004, 2005, when Kofi Annan was head of the UN. Mm-hmm. And he convinced the markets in Europe that they really needed to be looking at the environmental footprint of other companies before they did their investing. So that's where it started. And then it came across the pond.
Yeah.
And now 99% of all publicly traded companies have an ESG report. It's, you basically have to have it.
Yeah, yeah. Almost like a credit score.
Yes,
at this point.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And to your point, they're now looking down their supply chain and going, do you guys have any kind of mm-hmm. scoring on this and mm-hmm. concerned about that?
Mm-hmm.
Is the corporate social responsibility, it's funny how the acronyms change.
Yeah.
Is that still, I think I've run into it here and there. I don't know if it's gone away or not.
I still see it, but it didn't have the E portion of it, which I think is what the big push was. So I think that's where the change came.
Especially in the energy industry.
Right.
Yeah. Been really big for us. Could you kind of take us through what that process looked like in terms of assembling that team and kind of being the head of this initiative mm-hmm. for Flogistics?
Luckily for me, there was some foresight, and they had started doing GHG emission reports as a company 2 years prior to me getting there. So we did have that to look at. But basically, we just sat down and looked at the E and put together an outline of what does this address. You know, it's spill management, it's land management, it's water management. Emissions obviously are a big piece of it, not mm-hmm. only for us, but what we're doing for our customers as well. You
Absolutely.
Know, what do the emissions look like that we're capturing off of all of our vapor recovery? Mm-hmm. And how are we reporting that back to our customers so they can include mm-hmm. it in their data?
Yes.
And then the S portion has really been a big push. We, in fact, just yesterday launched our new volunteer program at all of our facilities.
Wow.
Myself, my assistant, and our vice president of human resources have gone out and traversed the whole country to all of our field offices, rolling this out and explaining to the employees what we're doing, why we're doing it, explaining ESG to them, and a couple of other initiatives that we're kicking off. And they, the first day, actually the first hour we launched it, we had 51 out of almost 400 employees sign up for it.
All right.
Wow. Yeah.
That's
so we're incredible. Really excited about it. It's going to be a group. Groups where we go out as Flogistics employees, but then they're also going to get what we call VTO, which is volunteer time off. They'll get 16 hours a year to go do it however they want to do it. So if they want to tutor, or if they want to give blood, or they're coaching soccer,
yeah.
and they can do that with their supervisor's approval on Flogistics time and get paid for that up to 16 hours a year. So that's been real popular.
That
they're
is
real excited
so cool.
about it.
Love
yeah.
to hear that.
Yeah.
It's so exciting.
So also on the S side of things, we're looking at our corporate giving. As in addition to that, the offerings we have benefits-wise for our employees, and then the governance piece, we're looking at the diversity and inclusion. We're looking at the trade associations that we are now a part of. We've joined a bunch of trade associations because we feel like that's important for us to help us get the word out.
Yeah.
You know, when you're a small company like us, it's kind of hard to get some of the regulators' attention. You feel like you've got the expertise to help them with some of the regulations, and so we feel like the trades were a good place for us to do that, so we've done that as well.
Absolutely.
And just looking at the whole governance piece, so, you know, your accounting practices and are you abiding by the laws in the local community? You know, those basic things.
For sure.
Yeah.
I know that makes a lot of sense.
I'm doing some ESG training right now with Energy Workforce Technology Council.
Yes.
And that was one of the things, like, literally, it's a worldwide industry. And so there are things like, are you doing any child labor? And, like, some kind of what we would think in the Western world, like, somewhat easy boxes to check off that, like, yes, we're abiding by these. That are kind of low-hanging fruit that you can, if you're looking to, and we'll get to this later, but if you're starting to go down this road, there are some things existing probably at your company that you can go, yeah, we're doing X, Y, and Z, and we just need to kind of pull it together. Sorry, Jeff, you're going to ask something else.
No, you're good. I was just, that's all sounds so exciting, and I know that rarely in life do all good things come without any sort of challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious, as you've been going through this process and undertaking, putting things in place, what have been some of the key takeaways or learning points that you've kind of experienced through this that's like, well, I didn't see that coming, or, mm-hmm. you know, that other people may be encountering as they're trying to take more steps to implement ESG in their companies?
I think there's probably two key things that jump out as you ask me that question. The first being, we are fortunate to have some individual besides myself who have worked for publicly traded companies and are able to bring that experience in.
That's good.
The great thing about Flogistics is everybody loves to work there. So a lot of people have been there for a long time. And so you tell them ESG, they have no idea what you're talking about. So luckily we do have some other employees who have worked for some publicly traded companies that have been involved. So that's been real helpful. I would say with the advent of new technology, we've had to adjust some of the policies in keeping up with that. You know, AI is something we've been talking about for over a year. So it cracks me up now to turn on the TV and it's like the headline on, you know, all the news programs. It's like, oh yeah, okay, we're with you on that. So those types of things, making sure that the policies move along with the technology as it advances.
Absolutely.
And then also just the growth factor. Well, I mean, we're adding so many employees that it's just keeping up with that and making sure that we've got all the checks in the boxes and opening up that new facility in El Reno and what that meant.
Yeah.
So
those are really good, helpful takeaways.
So have they, you're fabricating VRUs in El Reno?
We are.
Yeah, machining and all that. That's really
neat. Are. And we've had some supply chain issues that caused us to pull some of the functions in-house instead of using a supplier.
Yeah.
Wow.
Jeff doesn't know anything about that.
Nothing. Not a single thing about supply chain issues.
That's a triggering phrase.
Not the bane of my existence.
It's a good excuse nowadays. Like, oh, it's supply chain.
Don't even get me started.
That's why I didn't answer your email. Yeah.
I've been out to the Pampa facility, actually.
Oh,
I'd love to go to the El Reno one sometime soon.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me know. We'll go on a tour.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I'd be happy to.
So you mentioned, I was curious about these, I don't know what you necessarily call them, but education campaign or... As you traveled to the different field offices, you guys are in all the major plays. What were those trips like? How was it received? Were you looking for feedback from your field offices? Or
we were, and we were actually surprised. The attendance at our meetings wasn't necessarily mandatory, but they showed up. They were really eager to hear what corporate had to say and what was going on. It was an interesting little road trip. We went all the way to Watford City, North Dakota.
Okay.
Wow.
And
lovely.
Then to Pittsburgh. So we've been all
was
over.
Was that winter?
No, okay. Silly
good.
You.
Good.
Silly you.
You don't want to go there in winter.
I'm from Oklahoma. I don't go North Dakota in the wintertime.
Yeah. Was your kind of messaging up front like, we're going to come and talk about ESG?
Mm-hmm.
Or
okay. Yeah, we let them know. And not one person raised their hand and said they knew what ESG was. So I knew then and there, okay, this we need to do this. And we probably need to do this once a year, right? Send somebody from the team out.
I love that.
But
the continued education piece.
Yeah, because we're
so
hiring people all the time and they need to know. But
absolutely.
The input they had, once we started talking about it, even within the meetings, people would say, oh, well, we're doing this or we're doing that. And we had no idea, right? Mm-hmm. Recycling was a real big thing. Some of our facilities have very advanced recycling programs that we weren't necessarily aware of. So that was real eye-opening. And now I'm getting emails from employees saying, hey, what about this? Or I think if we do this, it might be appropriate for the ESG report. So they're all excited to have input.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, so it's great.
I love to hear that.
Yeah.
What, let's say someone was trying to kind of follow in your footsteps. So a lot of us are navigating these conversations now. And this is, it's getting to the... C-suite that like, okay, this is not a fad or something passing trend, but something we need to engage with. What would be your advice to internal teams? I don't know. I mean, you kind of have laid out a few things you've done already, but maybe big picture or tactical things.
One thing we did that was very eye-opening, it kind of fell into our lap. There are some third-party vendors that do ESG questionnaires, and some of the operators will require those from their customers. And so we got one from one of our customers and filled it out last year, and that showed us where we were missing some things.
Mm.
So if I was doing this all over again, that would be the first thing I would do, would be to pick one of those, and you can go to your customers and see if anybody's using them. I would fill out one of those questionnaires to see where the holes are.
Yes, good self-examine type tool. Yeah, that's a really helpful, practical tool.
And there are a lot, especially now, a lot of resources out there. Kind of when I started in this, and ironically, I worked for the Energy Workforce Technology Council back when it was PISA, and had the opportunity to go on Capitol Hill several times with some of the folks from Schlumberger and Halliburton and, you know, some of the bigger worldwide companies, and got to sit in these meetings and listen to their ESG professionals talk to members of Congress about what they were doing. And I filed a lot of stuff away in my head as I was sitting there listening to those conversations. And so, and those relationships, too, have been very helpful. So I encourage anyone who's getting started in this, go find those resources, join those trade associations. And those people are more than willing to share their experiences. I'm happy to share my experience and help people get started. Because I know it's something new. It's kind of scary. You know, that first report, it's like, what if we leave something out? Well, the bottom line is you are going to leave something out. But as long as you show progression and that you're making change that's positive for the next report, then you're good to go.
Yeah,
that's really all you have to show.
That's good.
Now, with ours at this point, so you've got the rating agencies. Are you guys familiar with this process?
A little bit.
Yeah. So if you're a publicly traded company, you send in an application to a rating agency, and they look at all your information, and they'll give you a grade, kind of like in school, right? The issue there is there's no common list of checkoff things that you need. So one group may give you an A, and the next group may give you a C. You don't really know what they're looking at, so you have to fill out more than one, unfortunately. So I'm kind of hoping at some point that comes together and there's one
standardized
rating that they come out with. Yeah. But as a privately held company, we don't have to do that. So we're not going to do that at this point.
Yeah.
But we are looking at the various frameworks, which has also created another challenge. So the frameworks is a guideline, basically. And there's, I don't know, name a number. There's probably a new one today that I haven't even heard about today. So we took our top 20 customers and went through their ESG reports and put a spreadsheet together and looked to see what frameworks they were following. And that's how we decided. And so we're starting off with one. We have plans for the second one to kick off. And we'll do that as we can, as we have the bandwidth to make sure that we're following all of those frameworks.
Wow.
So it's a process. It's changing constantly. I think just addressing it is important for the privately held companies. I mean, obviously, the publicly traded companies are already doing this, but just showing that you're making the effort is so important. And you can even go to your customers and they'll give you advice, or, hey, we'd like for you to follow this framework, or you might look at this resource, and they're always willing to help.
Absolutely. We've noticed similar things, too, in terms of people really being more on the same page and the same team in regards to this overall, because we're all in the energy industry, and we want to be successful. We want to enable our customers to be successful. And so there has been a lot of good collaboration between us and our customers thus far in regards. So I think that definitely is good advice. Totally checks out. Don't be afraid to ask.
Yes.
Just go and have the conversation.
Yeah, that we kind of had that on our radar for, 5 years or so. Like, okay, we need to start addressing this. We need to start, you know, making some content around it on our website and that kind of thing. But the kind of the traffic or even the customer questions weren't quite hitting us until, massive spike in the last, probably since COVID, the last couple of years.
I was going to say 2 years.
And our product applications team is just, that's one of their most common questions now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I would give two pieces of advice to someone, to a company who's looking at this.
Yeah.
You need to be proactive. Don't be reactive. Don't wait until your customers are standing at the door going, where is it? And then you're scrambling around trying to put all in. It takes months to compile this information. So be proactive. Don't be reactive. And secondly, don't just spend on it. Truly invest in it. If you're going to go in, you need to go all in. It's that important. So invest in it.
No, I think that's good.
So are you working on 2022 now?
We are.
Okay.
We are. It's coming along.
All right.
Probably the biggest lift on this is the GHG emissions piece, and we actually have an outside consulting firm who does that for us, so we're waiting on statistics from them. And eventually, I kind of want to get to the point where we have, and I know there's some of the operators that are doing this, we have like a sub-site on our website, a micro-site on our website that's devoted to ESG. So instead of this heavy lift during the first half of the year, getting the report done, as soon as you have new up-to-date information, you just put it on that micro-site. So it's a constant updating. It's not, oh, I got this report, but we just sent the ESG report to the printer. Now I got to sit on this for a year.
Right.
You know, you don't want to do that.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's really good.
That's long term.
Yeah.
That's a goal for me.
Yeah. Yeah. We have something similar in terms of just resources about our products and things, an emissions landing page, because, again, it's such conversation, and it seems like people are always asking certain things, or maybe don't even know how to approach the specific question that they're wanting to ask. I'm not really sure what I want to ask here, but, you know, it leads into a lot. And I know that it's something our applications team has used really, really frequently, is we have a dedicated landing page on the website for people to go and look at resources.
Yeah, and our sales team has really, they've latched onto this and really utilized it. So I think that's been a big help to them too.
Well, I was going to ask that, like, how was, once you guys got this accomplished, how was it received at Flogistics, and has it helped with customer engagement? That kind
it
of
has
thing?
Both. The employees have been all on board. We have gotten no pushback at all.
That's awesome.
And the sales team is, real happy to have that information.
Especially with a legacy team. That's very impressive. That's awesome.
Yeah. What were there some misconceptions going in? You said, like, nobody really knew what ESG was. Did they have perceptions about what it was or anything like that? Or just, like...
A lot of them, I think, thought that it was, well, I should say some of them thought it was mandated by the government.
Yeah.
So we had to explain that, that we're not there yet, although the SEC and that whole mess. But since we're privately held, it's not going to quite affect us yet. Mm-hmm. But,
Yeah, there are things coming, but that has been a similar hurdle for us in terms of education is – you know, there's federal regulations, there's state regulations, and then there's ESG, which is this whole other field of things that could be company specific in terms of what they're looking at, what they're asking for. Kind of like you said, it's not standardized. Mm-hmm. And we're all just trying to navigate it and figure out how to have those conversations when they come up. And it's super unique and difficult for a lot of people to wrap their head around. Like, so this document doesn't work for you now, or... Yeah, so that's good
advice. Well, we've noticed, too, some of the emissions even is being calculated in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
By tons or MCF or, you know, it's it's all different. It's all over the place.
Stuffs, yeah.
And all you guys are in, from your website, I gathered that you're in the, like, doing some methane detection with the drones? So you're at least able to quantify some of that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Which, I mean, you're going to have to.
Are you doing that for your product specifically or for a company, like a... Service for a company. Okay. So
A lot of our customers are utilizing it. Our vapor recovery customers are utilizing our air methane program.
Okay. But that will measure their whole site and give feedback.
We will. We can come in and show them where their leaks are.
Gotcha.
And we're working to the point where we can quantify the leak.
That's great.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
All right. I think a couple final questions. Unless Jeff, do you have anything? One is, what is something, Kristen, that you could, this could be anything, but something that you explain regularly or you find yourself explaining to shareholders or customers?
I would say the regulations and where we are in those, why the process is taking so long. What's Quad OA? What's Quad OB? What's Quad OC?
Is that coming?
I would say that definitely the regulatory agencies and how they fit into all of this, especially the EPA, is where most of my questions come from and probably where most of my questions lie.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I fully relate to that statement.
Yeah. I know the acronyms, but not much more. Yeah.
Yeah, honestly.
Okay. The last one is, what is something, and Jeff, I'm going to ask you this one too. This is a new one we're going to try. Just a recommendation, right? So something valuable that you've listened to, read, book, podcast, article, video, could be about ESG, could be wildly different, could be business related or productivity related.
I'm an Alex Epstein fan.
Okay. Moral case for fossil fuels,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
He was in Oklahoma City not long ago.
Yeah, he was with the Petroleum Alliance of Oklahoma out of here. I think his argument, and Dr. Scott Tinker out of Texas also has the same argument of energy poverty.
Yeah.
And how it is our responsibility to help these billions of people who are in sub-Saharan Africa who don't have reliable energy get reliable energy. And how do we do that and help them do it as cleanly as possible? It's kind of his moral compass.
Yeah.
And I tend to agree with him. I don't think that, you know, we can sit here in the United States and say, you got to use a solar panel.
Right.
When they have electricity for an hour a day.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let Jeff continue to think while I'll piggyback on that one. Yeah, because I've been thinking about energy poverty also, and I came across an interview a guy named Chris Wright did. He's the CEO of
Liberty
Energy, mm-hmm. and with Hart, and he's been talking about this a lot. He's mm-hmm. got a video that went viral called "Thank You North Face." If you've ever seen that one, but North Face didn't want to make jackets for this certain company that was
his company
in oil and oh was it his
it was okay. his company
it was in oil and gas, and it wasn't like a lot of jackets, but he said, well, you know, your distribution, your websites, your manufacturing, all these things are powered by oil and gas. And he in this video, he goes into kind of a personal story that he has as well with he's got diabetes, and so insulin, there's some oil and gas involved in the manufacturing of it. So anyway, he does a good job, I think, explaining just perspective. Like, yes, there are some climate things and some things that this emissions conversation is important, but it's about, you know, and you can't see my fingers on the podcast, but it's a tiny bit, a tiny amount of what oil and gas does. And so addressing, you know, like you said, energy poverty is a huge, it's a huge moral value that we have and that we're doing. And so anyway, he does a good job helping us understand that. I've had so many conversations with people in my personal life, but also even just in my work life, that are trying to understand oil and gas and don't really know, are we good guys? Are we bad guys? What are we doing in the world? You know? And so he helped me think through some of that and give some vocabulary around it. So,
yeah, that's really good.
In terms of a helpful resource, I would say one that has been really helpful for me, especially in relation to this topic, is OERB hosts a lot of webinars, and Laura Lotus usually helps facilitate or conduct some of those, and she's incredible. Mm-hmm. Just so, so helpful. And that has really been, in terms of baby in the bathwater kind of extraction, been probably my most helpful resource, is being able to jump on those, ask questions to somebody who's really taken the true deep dive.
Yeah.
And other than that, I like to listen to fiction books. So yeah. Tolkien, The Hobbit, I think was the last book I listened to.
Okay. Yeah. New release. Well,
Dr. Yeah. Scott Tinker from the University of Texas, in fact, he's here today at SPE. Oh. He has a TED Talk where he talks about this whole energy poverty thing. And Dr. Ken Medlock at the University of Houston, same thing. Okay. They're both on that energy poverty and just really bring it to the forefront to make common sense out of it. You're like, yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. This is
so
how
helpful.
It is. Yeah.
So helpful.
I like Energy Technology Workforce Council. I always get their acronym wrong. Energy Workforce Technology Council. They've been talking about this idea of energy expansion. So it's not and you know, building towards our low carbon future. It's not that we're ignoring or saying like, oh, electricity is not good or whatever. You know, us against whoever. But going, how can we multiply the ways we're getting energy and work together on some of these things? I thought that was helpful, too, because it's not realistic to go, all right, tomorrow we're going to shut off oil and gas mm-hmm. and expect the modern world to exist.
Yeah.
Producer Denny, anything do you have a microphone? Anything you want to recommend? Okay, we'll putt-putt. Denny's son is really into mini golf, and they played 3 rounds this weekend. So,
wow.
His recommendation is to go outside. It's spring; it's nice most places.
Yeah,
go play some putt putt with
here,
your kids.
Here. Yeah, I endorse that message.
All right, anything else, man? Thank you so much for coming,
sure.
Kristen.
Yes. Happy
really
to do
enjoyed it.
It.
Such a pleasure to
we've
have you.
Learned a lot. We'll have links to the various resources and Kristen's information and Phlogistics and the cool resources that we've recommended as well in the show notes for this podcast, and maybe a link to a couple of putt-putt courses where you can play this weekend. We'll catch you next time on Stuff You Should Know About Oil and Gas Production.